100 Ashvamedha sacrifices. If you perform 100 Ashvamedha sacrifices, you can become Lord Indra.
Yes, you can become Lord Indra. The Ashvamedha sacrifice is the biggest material sacrifice, the biggest karmakandiya activity in existence. Ashvamedha. Yeah, that sacrifice. So, 100, you know, it's practically unheard of. Our, the current Indra has performed 100. Not all Indras can do it, but our current Indra has performed 100 Ashvamedha sacrifices. Very difficult, big thing. So the student was thinking that this is such a nice glorification. Chanting Hare Krishna is as good as 100 Ashvamedha sacrifices. Oh, I'm really saying a nice thing. And he thought Lord Chaitanya would appreciate so much. But Lord Chaitanya got very angry and chased him out physically. He was going to beat him up. Yes. And Lord Chaitanya was running after him. Poor fellow had to run for his life. And then he went and gathered together with some of his friends, and then they complained. So then Lord Chaitanya, when he saw them complain, he decided, I have to take sannyas. These people aren't taking me seriously. So that was like the final straw, which led to Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. So anyway, the thing is that we can't compare. We shouldn't interpret, give some mundane interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. Understand it as being something completely, purely spiritual. Totally spiritual. You cannot really draw any parallels between the chanting of the holy names and even the best, so-called best material activity or thing. Hare Krishna. Okay, I think I'm going to have to finish here. Does anyone have any comments or questions? You're all looking a little sleepy today. I hope it wasn't too much my fault. Anyway, I feel quite good down here in the breeze. Srila Prabhupada, oh sorry, okay, yes. Because we have impure senses and impure facilities, how can we chant the holy name purely? Well, the thing is, if we follow the process of Krishna consciousness, as it's given, the authorized process. The process is pure. So, if we follow the pure process, we become purified. Yeah, this is the basic idea. You follow the pure process, just like if you stand in front of fire, you become hot. We are not by nature hot. You know, we're a certain temperature, but not really hot. But if you stand in front of fire, whether you want to get hot or not, you'll get hot. So the process is pure. Golokera prema tada harinava sankirtana. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is coming from the kingdom of God. It's completely pure. And the activities are pure. You know, our senses may not be pure, but activities, bona fide activities in devotional service, as authorized by the disciplic succession, those activities are pure. And if we perform those activities, if we have that contact with Krishna through his devotional service, then our senses and our mind and everything becomes pure. So gradually, although initially we start on the offensive level of chanting, but if we apply ourselves sincerely, then Prabhupada's intention was that by the time a person comes to the level of first initiation, they should be able to maintain this clearing stage, which means chanting inoffensively. Yeah, they will have made advancement and become purified to some extent. Just to be able to do that, that's quite quickly. Yeah, so that's the principle. Yeah, even though we are filthy, you know, in terms of karmic reactions and all that,
But by associating with the pure,
then we become purified. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda.
Jai. And now let us move on to the seven. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord. So, of course, the point here is that, as we note in our first little comment here, that the unlimited power of the holy names has already been discussed in regard to the fifth offense we mentioned about how you can't commit enough sinful activity, that just one chanting of the name Krishna without offense will not be able to eliminate all of that. So therefore, some people may think that let us make a program, systematic program, of enjoying life, eat, drink, and be merry, and not eating prasadam, drinking prasadam or milk or whatever, and enjoying kirtan, but some other forms. So people may think like this and then think that let us also chant the holy names and this will free us. However, point number three, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, if someone even contemplates relieving himself of the reaction of deliberate sin by exploiting the purifying strength of the holy name, he is utterly ruined, and no amount of prayaschitta will help him. Prayaschitta means atonement. Even after untold retribution in hell, he'll not be absolved from this mental nam aparad. So this is really serious. This is very, very serious. So, of course, we don't expect any of you, we know you're all committed devotees, so we don't expect you to break any of the regulative principles. So hopefully this wouldn't apply so much to yourselves. However, there's one interesting little twist to this, and it comes up, we mention in point five, it's actually point four, in fact, from Seva Aparad to Nam Aparad. This is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, that actually we already mentioned that there are the Seva Aparads, beginning with what? What's Seva Aparad number one? Come on, show me you've learned something. Entering the temple room with shoes or on a palanquin. Yeah. And it includes, I mean, the list of Seva Aparads includes not reciting the pranam mantra out loud, or at least audibly, not that you have to shout, but, you know, audibly, it should be audible. And there's a number, 60 or so, specific Seva Aparads. And right at the very beginning, you may recall, right at the very, very beginning, in fact, it's on the first page of our study guide, is a quote from Śrīla Prabhupāda in which he says that if you commit some offense against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then if you chant Hare Krishna, you can be delivered from that. And we did explain at that time, if you recall, that what Prabhupada is referring to then when he says, if you commit offense against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's these Seva Aparads, beginning with entering the temple with shoes on, or not offering obeisances properly, or different things like that. Getting angry with people in front of the deity. And you can read through them, it's worthwhile. So, Śrīla Prabhupāda made the point that if you happen to commit any of these, then you just chant, as you're already chanting Hare Krishna, so you just carry on chanting Hare Krishna and the results of those will be washed away. In other words, they're not terribly serious, really. However, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes the point that if you commit any of these knowingly, then any of these seva aparads, they cease to be seva aparads, and they become forms of the seventh offense, committing sin on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. So now you know you're not allowed to enter the temple room with shoes on anyway, you knew that already. Now you know you're meant to say your pranam mantra out loud. So, you know, with knowledge comes a burden of responsibility. So you might argue, well, let me not read the list of these offenses so I can very sincerely commit them without any intention, and then it won't be nama harad. However, this is not actually a good idea. You should be aware and you should avoid them. And if you don't, somehow or other, you know, you may... It happens sometimes that the devotee has to just rush into the temple room to call someone out or something like that. You may have seen this happen. Or you just left your bead bag there or something. You've got to just say goodbye to someone. So you just duck in, grab your bead bag, duck out without really offering your obeisances. These things happen sometimes. Or it's an offense. Anyway, I won't mention that one, but there's a few touchy ones there. Like, you're not meant to wear red or blue in front of the deity. You familiar with that one? That one's there. And how do we interpret that? Well, Srila Prabhupada didn't apply that. Because particularly ladies, and men perhaps sometimes, if they, like with a pullover or a jacket perhaps, I'm sure that devotees wear red and blue sometimes. But according to that list, it's an offense. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada didn't apply that, so we don't really worry too much about it. However, the others, we should really be mindful. Then, the last little point here under the seventh offense is the need for vigilance on the Namabas stage. And let me just see what we say about that here. Yes. So, Namabas, this clearing stage, we talked about that yesterday. This is very important to be mindful of. We're meant to be on the clearing stage. Of course, it'd be nice to say that we're meant to be on the Shuddhanam, pure stage of chanting and love of God, but we don't really, you know, expect that too quickly. But at least we should be on the clearing stage. And that means the difference between clearing stage and offensive stage is that on the offensive stage, the different desires or non-Krishna conscious ideas will enter the mind sometimes. And on the offensive stage, we may sometimes entertain them. Yes. Some little idea enters the mind, and then off we go down some little mental path, following that idea and thinking about it, and wouldn't it be nice? And something like that, some material contemplation. So that's the offensive stage. Now the difference between that and the clearing stage is that even though the mind is sometimes pushing and telling you, come on, think about this, think about that, some nonsense, but on the clearing stage, the devotee says no. Yeah. The devotee says no, an emphatic no. And even though the mind is talking away there, but the devotee then remains fixed in chanting. Doesn't mean that no desires, no ideas ever come into the mind. That's the pure stage where one is totally just swimming in the ocean of the holy name and just drowning in the ocean of the holy name. And there's no question of material desire, even even entering the scene, even as a hint. But on the clearing stage, it's understood that the pushing is there. The pushing is there from the mind. But the devotee is resisting and has become strong enough and purified enough to be able to resist and not just get washed away with the tide of the mind's desires and the strength of the mind. So, as far as vigilance then being required in the Namabhas stage, then there are two things. And this is important for us all as aspiring devotees. We're all trying to get it together. So, two things are there. One is that you have to just be very determined. That has to be there. But second, this is recommendation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that we must regularly seek the association of devotees and pure devotees who do chant the holy name without offenses and chant in their company. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that for at least an hour a day we should chant with advanced devotees. Even though, you know, you won't chant all your rounds within an hour. If you are chanting all your rounds within an hour, then you must know that you are, it's not really possible unless you adopt one of the deviant forms of the Maha Mantra, like the snick snick ram ram. You've heard about that. I'm sure you must have heard about that. One devotee was chanting something like that in Prabhupada's presence. And Srila Prabhupada was quite struck by it. He found it quite amusing. And he told him, if you keep chanting like this, you may go to Snick Loka. Snick, snick, ram, ram. Or the Hare, we have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I'm sure you've all heard us mention before about the Hare Krishna Mini Mantra. The abbreviated Hare Krishna Mantra. One of our dear devotees, I won't mention any names, sometimes chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, and finishes his rounds quickly. Anyway, so we should chant very vigilantly. If we are to come to, or remain on, depending where we're at right now, the clearing stage, and seeing the tendency towards sin is something which is quite deeply ingrained for many, many lifetimes. So we really have to watch out for the seventh offense. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends like that, that we should regularly, you may not always be able to, but regularly, we should chant in the association of advanced devotees. And ideally on a daily basis, of course yourselves, many of yourselves at least as householders, that might be difficult, but the thing is that as you advance more, probably, of course you'll become better association for each other anyway, as family members. But perhaps as you advance more, then the devotees in the different areas may sometimes gather in each other's houses, you know, for an hour at least, every day or every other day or something like this. In some parts of the world, like in Russia, where they have namahattas, they have a namahatta center. They have one flat, and it's only used for the namahatta programs. Someone may stay there just to keep it clean. But otherwise, it's just for the Namahatta programs. So in the morning, many of the devotees, Namahatta devotees around, working people, they'll come there. They'll gather at 5:30 or 5 o'clock or something like that, spend an hour or so before they go to work. Yeah, this is some practical thing which may be possible in order to help each other and associate and surcharge each other. And this is very helpful. Yeah, because one thing we should remember is that we are never alone. Even when we're alone, we're not alone. And that doesn't mean just because Krishna's there. Us and Krishna are not alone. Yes, you know who's there with you? Your mind. Yes. And unfortunately your mind is probably not very good association. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares the mind to Putana, the witch. She'd like to kill us, but she looks very sweet. Putana dressed herself up like a very sweet young lady, extremely good looking, very, very beautiful, but not a flashy type of beautiful lady, but of very high character, very pure-hearted, sattvic type of young lady. She looked so nice that Mother Yashoda didn't, when Putana went walking into Nanda Maharaja's own room, because they lived in separate rooms, even in separate parts of the house, then she looked so sweet and nice that Mother Yashoda didn't even ask her, "Who are you? What are you doing in my husband's room?" She just let her go. So like this, we may be a little too liberal with our minds, because your mind will tell you that, you know, we're good friends, we've been friends for a long time. I always give you good advice, I'm there when you need me. And we may think, yes, good old mind. But the mind is compared to Putana. It looks very nice, but then the mind will try to kill us or kill our Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we should try to seek the association of devotees on a very regular basis and chant in their association. And that's very important. We haven't been talking a lot about the remedies. Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests some remedies. Of course, we did also make the point, or Prabhupada made the point right at the very beginning, that if you commit offenses against the holy names, then there's no, you know, you can't, it's very difficult, or even Prabhupada more or less said, hardly possible to really address that. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur does talk about that, and Prabhupada also elsewhere does say, particularly with Vaishnava Aparad, that there are things you can do. With Vaishnava Aparad, we talked about that, how you have to very humbly go before the devotee, throw yourself at the devotee's feet. In regard to the second offense, the remedy, if you happen to get into demigod worship, because I see, actually I've seen in some of our devotees, not many, but some of our devotees' houses here and there, you know, they may have two altars sometimes, or, you know, that most of the altar is Krishna conscious, but just around the corner is, you know, Durga or Lakshmi or somebody, or, you know, actually we've seen it. So if someone happens to commit that offense, then what Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends is that you go in front of the deities and throw yourself at their lotus feet and beg forgiveness. If you disobey the orders of the spiritual master, you're meant to go into his presence and admit your offense, and in front of all the devotees, you're meant to do that. If you blaspheme the scriptures, you're meant to do the same thing. Make up, you know, like an altar with some of the scriptures on the altar, and offer your humble obeisances, and in front of the devotees, make them aware of what you've done. So these types of remedies are there for most of these offenses. For this offense, if you commit sin on the strength of chanting the holy names, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that you go into the association of devotees and throw yourself at their lotus feet and beg for forgiveness and beg for help. And the devotees, of course, are so merciful that if you beg for their help, then they'll give you good advice and encouragement and treat you in a very merciful way. Soothing words like this. So that's something about the seventh offense. Let's say something now about the eighth offense. To consider, where are we? Eighth offense, wait a minute.
It's the last one.
Oh, it's the last page, okay. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as spirit of activities, Karma Kanda. So we make the point, Govokira Prema Dana, Prema Dana actually, D-H-A-N-A, Harinama Sankirtana. This Harinama Sankirtan, the holy name, has descended from Goloka as a great gift, Prema Dana. Like that. It's descended from the spiritual world as a great gift of love of God. Then we quote one very nice verse here from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which really makes it very clear. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it's Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it's no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there's no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. This is a very important verse, making it very clear. Of course, you all know this fact that Krishna consciousness is transcendental, but still a possible variation on this offense, which we may commit, is if we start praying to Krishna praying to Krishna with some sort of material end in mind. Of course, you know, if you need some money to do some service for Krishna, even maintain your own family better in Krishna consciousness, so that may be acceptable up to a point. But if we start, you know, like really praying to Krishna for material things, then it is basically an offense falling into this category in which we are equating Krishna consciousness or trying to get from Krishna consciousness the same benefits which are normally got from karma kandiya, material things. Give me a house and a car and a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Yes. Yeah, like that. So, in our cases, we don't really expect you, any of you, to think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is actually a material religious activity. I mean, I'm sure you've all heard about that enough. But this is a little twist on it. A little twist, a little subtlety, that we may think of getting something material by the grace of the holy name, something beyond our real requirements. So this is a possible variation which might apply to us. Then we say, I was actually meant to be point number three, but the number got lost there. The example of Kalidas. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he explains this offense in Harinam Chintamani, actually it's Haridas Thakur, in fact, who is really speaking. So he makes the point that if you commit this offense, it indicates that you have gross material attachment. You know, if you think that the holy name is just something like Karmakandiya, or even in this more subtle sense, you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're praying to Krishna, give me a new BMW, I could use it in Krishna's service. Give me a new Rolls Royce, or something like that. Give me a new sari. Of course you may need a new sari, or whatever it might be. So, but the thing is, when we start going a little overboard, if we start going a little overboard about desire,